you know that from your position, you can change your situation? Do you also know that you are the master over the created world and that you are meant to rule over everything God has made? Listen carefully as God's servant brings to you with simplicity and clarity the message of the new creation realities in Christ Jesus. Be blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and bless God this moment and bless Him and say, Father, we thank you. Thank you for feeding us. Thank you for your generosity in this meeting. Thank you for the full supply of the spirit of revelation that we have seen and that we have been experiencing. That we thank you. We open up ourselves for more, Lord. We thank you, Father. We give glory to you. Thank you for much more that you are still doing with us. Thank you for the operation of your spirit. Thank you for instructions. Thank you for directions. Thank you, Father, for rebuke. Thank you, Father, for light. In all areas, we just want to say thank you. Thank you again for this next phase of this meeting again. We are grateful. Daddy, we just say thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for loading us and loading us and loading us. Thank you for inspiring us with your truth and your word. Thank you, Father, for bringing direction to every area of darkness. We are so grateful, Daddy. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Amen. Caleb's daughter went to meet her father and said to him, he said, Father, you have given me a land. He said, but the land is dry. He said, now give me water, you know, so that my land can be fruitful. And the Bible says, Caleb gave her both the upper water and the lower water. You know why? And then her life became fruitful onwards. Just because she understand that the place of Father is to give waters so that your field can blossom. We have received water, and I know that is the testimony of every one of you here who are sons and daughters. Our fields are fruitful because we have received both upper water and lower water from our spiritual parent. And I want you to lift up your voice and thank God for them. Don't just clap. Let's lift up our voice and say, Father, we thank you for our spiritual parent. We have received waters into the field you've committed to our hands in medicine, in pharmacy, in architecture, in engineering, in ministry. We've received water onto our fields. And we want to say thank you for Daddy and Mommy. We are grateful. We are grateful. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Please, now, please let me celebrate them, please. Praise God. Thank you, Mommy. Thank you, Daddy. We're so grateful. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'd like you to please help me celebrate Pastor Dele Oshumakinde. Pastor Dele, we're so grateful. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor Oshumakinde, thank you for that session. I was deeply blessed. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Abayomi, thank you for such fire in prayer. We're so grateful. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Please help me celebrate my brother, Pastor Laolu. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I have my wife here. Please let me celebrate Pastor Tammy, please. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Amen. To all pastors, I sincerely celebrate you. I appreciate you. Thank you for what you do. The Lord increase you greatly in Jesus' name. Please, you may be seated as we move into this next session in this seminar. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I know God has a word for you. And I know that God is about to, you know, set some things in place for us in the name of Jesus. Yeah, our pre-marital understanding and our marital understanding has to be founded on scriptures. There is nothing solid enough that can bear the weight of marriage or the weight of a relationship than the understanding of God's word. The Bible spoke about the fact that there were two people, the wise one and the foolish one, who built houses, okay? And every time I read that scripture, that whatever, I always, always wished that the house of the foolish man did not stand. And I will tell you why. Because if his house is an architect, I have an understanding that if you are building and it's not standing early enough, you will know something is wrong. And so since you will know, you will quickly be able to correct it early than then to build, spend all those resources, and then eventually only for it to come down. But the funny thing is that, see, whether you are building wisely or you are building foolishly, it may look like it's going to stand, you know, for a moment, but eventually, when some challenges, some situations come, it can hit the house, impact it in a way that you didn't see coming, and then it comes down. And the Bible says the house of the foolish one came down. Why? Because he did not build it on a solid rock. And that is what happens with relationships and marriages, when they are not built on certain pedestals and certain platforms. And because those are the things that can bear the weight, you know, of homes and of our dating relationships. Praise the Lord. We can choose to, of course, I'm sure you understand that there is the Igbo way of doing marriage. There is the Yoruba way of doing marriage. There is the Hausa way. So there are several cultures. There is an American way. But also, most importantly, there is the Bible, scriptural, doctrinal way that actually is the way by which God expects us to build our home. And I believe that your relationship will stand in the name of Jesus. But most importantly, your marriages will stand in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I want to speak to you about dealing with issues, you know, in relationship and dealing with issues in marriages. Praise God. There is a story of a woman in John chapter 4 and from verse 15. This woman had met Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about relationship, but I want to touch both dating and marital. And I know that God will help us in proper application as we begin to get into the details of this. So the Bible spoke about this woman who met Jesus, and then Jesus began to speak to her and says, "Go bring your husband." And she said, "You know, my husband is not here." And then she said, "Jesus Christ, that has well said, because you know you've been married 5 times." You know, I feel sincerely that one of the greatest challenge we have when we study God's word is to separate the emotions of people we are reading about from the realities. Knowing that these are people who have angers, people who actually feel joy, these are real human beings. And so because you read the Bible in retrospect, the whole thing has been completed, you sometimes forget that these people actually have emotions. They have feelings. So if a woman has been married 5 times, it tells you something. Number one, this is not a prostitute. Because prostitutes don't commit, they don't have any commitment. Just want to sleep. If she was a prostitute, it would have been she has slept with 5 men. So for her to be married 5 times, it tells you something. It's a woman that understands commitment. In the sense that I want to be committed to something. I don't just want to sleep around. So she did the first one looking for commitment. It didn't work and all that. She could have said, "I'm just going to be sleeping around." But she said, "No, I'm going to try again. I'm going to give it another chance." All right? And because, you know, it seems that sometimes we focus on the negativity of people's story more than the fact that, see, these are normal human beings. You know, we say blind Bartimaeus, we say doubting Thomas, we are all labored. But sometimes you probably have been in some of those situations, you know, whereby you felt like you should give up on something. So this is the story of this woman really, really always baffles me, because I ask myself a lot of questions about her. Why? I don't know who she dated. Maybe she dated, you know, with the first person she married, sorry. There must have been something in that thing that probably didn't work out. And many times it didn't work out because there were conflict, you know, or there were unresolved things that they never came to an agreement over that led to their departure, most likely. And then it could be, I don't want to even help her to think about her challenges and her problems. But you see, but the next thing, she tried a second marriage. And then she got there and then she felt like, see, definitely this is that marriage where all things will work. So she married this next guy, you know, and this guy comes and she's excited, thinking maybe they had the beautiful honeymoon, I mean, predating whatever, and then she got into it, and then issues happened again, and then, you know, there was a breakup and everything like that, and she was shattered. If you've ever been broken up with, you know what it takes, and the emotions that goes with being broken up with, all right? You know, how it is that you just don't want to see sunlight. You know, you just lock up yourself, then you have 3 bags of tissue. That's someone you did not even marry. All right? This is the guy, you know. And, I always say that there are several breakups. You see, the most annoying breakup that I've seen in my whole life is the breakup of you dating someone that you were not dating. That is the most annoying breakup in the whole world. You know, how many of you know that breakup where the guy is all around you and all that, you know, you cook for him, you whatever, he calls you dear, darling, you know. You when you see him, you say honey, sugar, and all that. But he never asks you out and all that. And then, you know, you guys have been together for 3 years. You know, several guys have come. John Bull has come. He said no because you're dating someone you're not dating. You know, several guys have come. You know, godly people, solid people, you know, you're not saying yes. And then eventually, this guy comes and tells you that, say, I have this big news for you. And all that. And he said, what is it? I said, I meet my girlfriend. And then you want to die. Wait. Wait, what's the issue with you? Huh? What's the issue with you? He didn't ask you out, okay? Praise God. So I think that is the most annoying. It's the kind of breakup where you don't want to beat the guy. You want to beat yourself. That you go like, say, kilo shame. I mean, how did I ever get to this point? And I feel strongly that. So imagine if that is a breakup. Now imagine that this is a divorce. Divorce number one. Divorce number two. And then you see, you know, it tells you this woman has tenacity. And then she went again a third time. I'm going to get it right this time around. I'm going to whatever. Because issues kept coming in those with those men. Because like I said, don't see her as a woman, you know, who has no emotions, no feelings, no aspirations, you know, no desires, no future. She's a normal woman. She's a human being. Someone who fetches water to cook, fetches water to wash plates. A human being just like you and I. And then so finally, she did everything. Fifth one. Number of grace. She told herself, "Oti Tobai, I'm not going any further." And then so she finally saw this fellow, this guy, and all that. But she told herself, "This time around, I am marrying you. We're going to live together and all that." And I want to show you something that is amazing, you know, that's comical to me, was the fact that after all I search for Mr. Perfect, after all, I searched for somebody who you probably will never have issues with. It only landed out with one person, which is Jesus. And Jesus ain't my nobody, man. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Praise God. So you keep searching for that person, that marriage where there won't be issues. That marriage where there won't be whatever. That dating where you won't be able to, you know, deal with matters. And it will lead you only to one person, like a ladder, to Christ. And everything, because that's the only perfect man you will ever meet. Quote unquote, that you will not have to deal with any matter maritally. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. Because if she didn't meet Jesus and she went for another one, she would have met 39 of them and she will find out that, see, there are issues to deal with when you meet people. So dealing with issues matters. Else, you will keep jumping from one relationship to another, from one marriage, thinking there is one person you will meet, that when you find this person, there will never be something to deal with. And then whatever, it will only lead you to only one person. Jesus, the lover of your soul. That's all, really. That's all you ever get, really. And everything like that. And it's the lover of your soul, not the lover of your body. Last time I checked, nobody woke up and said, they woke up and then God gave them a big kiss. I've never found out. It doesn't happen. Praise God. Amen. So this is important. He will lead you to only one thing. Only one thing. Only one person, Jesus. It simply means try, you know, this. I'm having issues with this relationship. I'm having issues with my husband. This is the matter and everything like that. Maybe another one will work. And usually, it's the fact that, see, we need to understand the place of wisdom on how to deal, you know, with matters, you know, with issues, you know, of division, of divided opinions, divided concept, you know, in marriage. Let me show you something that is very important. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. Your home will stand in the name of Jesus. Matthew 12:25. Let's read it in NLT. So because of time, let's read in NLT. New Living Translation, Matthew 12:25. Let's see something. What does it say? It says here, Jesus knew their thought and replied, "Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed." I'd like you to see what it said here. After it says, "Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed," look at what it now says here. Was that a town or family that is splintered by feuding will fall apart. That is splintered by feuding. Feuding means there's always a fight, there's always a challenge that you are not dealing with. He said the marriage or the relationship will collapse. The marriage or the relationship, why is it collapsing? He says any kingdom divided by civil war, you know, is doomed. And he's also said a town or family. So let's remove this kingdom, let's remove the town, and let's deal with family. Is that when there is splinters, when there is feuding, the word feuding means fight. We're always fighting, we're always whatever, this issue, or dating and everything like that, to the point that it's just, the only reason we're still together is just love work, you know. And everything, like he said, listen, it will fall apart. That must be the story of that woman. Seven of first husband feuding. Second husband feuding. Third husband feuding. Third husband feuding. When I met my wife, you know, she's been a good girl all her life, you know. And me, I haven't been. And so we got talking. I mean, I had not been. And then we got talking. And then she goes like, you know, am I your first girlfriend? I said, eh, Nibu? I said, no, you are number eight. You know, she said, eh? I said, you know me, the way I grew up. I said, I've seen Orishirishi, you know, in the sense that, you know, human beings who are just, you know, you know. And, but you see, in all of those people, just like this woman, one thing I can tell you, and all that, is that, see, there's something to deal with. There's something. Pastor Temi broke up with me 7 times. This is probably what many people don't know. 7 times we have broken up. That is always the text I receive. I'll just get the message. Pam, we are broken up. I'll just look at it. Again. And then I will come over and then meet her and say, "Kilo tu sheleva," you know. You know. And the kind of human being that I was, really, you know, it was considerate. So 7 times was a considerate breakup, you know, number. You know, and all that. Because now, imagine, please listen to this. Imagine we did not resolve those issues because it was issues that was leading up to those breakups. Today I have a fantastic marriage. We could have lost one another because we didn't deal with issues. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Because we didn't, there are things that you're probably dealing with. You could have missed a good man because the wisdom to handle good things were not there. I mean, I remember one day I was in Lagos. I just received one of those messages on the road. We are broken up. You know, and everything. I said, okay, I need to travel to Ibadan. So I traveled. I said, yeah, what's the matter again? You know, and all that. And then she said, but I just said, no, we have to sit down and resolve this matter. You know what I found out? Because I learned early that anything that will work, you must learn to actually tackle the challenges there. In maritally now, I can't remember. She was the one reminding me a while back that we don't even fight. You know, and everything. She just took a pillow and she said, let's fight today. Let's fight. Let's fight. And all that. I said, well, the truth is that maybe early, there are certain things that we've learned to say, issues have to be resolved. Let me just quickly say that to you. If you don't have this understanding, you will keep thinking there's somebody out there that is better. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, begin to count body count and body numbers. All right, so let's deal with this matter. So it says here, when a family is feuding, you are always fighting. When the relationship is feuding, it's always a fight. It said, look, feuding, it will fall apart. It will. Let me show you. Let's see it. The same one. Let us see it in Amplified Version. Matthew 12:25, Amplified Version. Let's see it into Amplified Version. You see something here. Amplified says, and knowing their thought, he said unto them, any kingdom that is divided against itself is being brought to desolation, laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will last or continue to stand. Hallelujah. Do you know now that some of the relationships that some of us walked away from, I'm just saying, I know that, is that some of those things that were there, I'm not talking about, and I'm going to come into something now, you know, to strike a balance in this, that some of those issues that were issues were things that if both of you were patient and all, you applied God's wisdom, you could have resolved. Now, there are also times when the relationship must splinter, whereby both of you have to walk and go your separate ways. But there is never a time, amen, somebody, except on, you know, drastic and bad advice of, you know, elders and fathers, where, you know, a marriage just say, we're going to scatter. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Praise the Lord. So this is important. Settling matters. Understanding that there will be issues. And issues are not necessarily fights. Issues are issues. Don't make a fight out of an issue. Hallelujah. If you don't deal with it, anytime they want to collapse a building, you either explode it from outside or you implode it from within. Where marriage is concerned, many times, I can tell you, marriages don't explode, they implode. In the sense that the pressure that brings a marriage down is many times not from without. Many times it's from within. The pressure that brings a relationship down, many times from within. I know your in-laws are one kind. I know, you know, and everything like that. I know that, you know, your wife's younger brother is Olori Bobo. I understand that. You know, I understand, you know, some people just come like that. But you see, I found out that the same thing that you want to walk away from just because of that younger brother, some people have 10 of those same younger brothers, but the husband and the wife have found the wisdom to manage those same things, and their home has not broken. And their home has not broken. So this, I'm walking away, you know, thing ain't gonna work. Amen. I remember a guy who was saved, you know, born again, and he told me what happened, you know, to him. A week into their wedding, he was telling me, I was narrating himself and his wife. They had short courtship, and then she was far away, but they finally got married. And then getting to the marriage, the next thing that happened, they were having a conversation. And after they were having a conversation, the lady just looked and said, "How dare you talk to me like that, worship!" And then he was like, "Eh? What happened? I have just been washed." You know, so he walked away from there. And on walking away, he said he wanted to sit down in the sitting room. Of course, I really insulted him on this. I said, "Agbaya, I need you more." You know, he said he sat down. And after sitting down, he asked himself, "What just happened?" I was slapped. He said, he told himself, this girl that grew up abroad, she will think slapping her husband is normal. And that is something romantic, like they do in movies. "Oh, you offended me, what?" And then she will do it regularly, you know. So he told himself, this thing has to stop, this is Africa. So he said, about 40 minutes after he went to touch her, he said, when she looked, he said, he slapped his own man. I said, you know. And all that, of course, I'm coming somewhere. So she packed her load. "Oh, you slapped me!" And then the guy says, "Correction, you slapped me." I responded. He said, "No, you slapped me. Oh!" So she packed her things. "I'm leaving." And then as she was going, he said he went, he shut the door, locked the door, put it in his pocket. The lady said, "Listen, I made a huge mistake by marrying you. I should have followed what me did." And then the guy just said, "Well, I also made a big mistake by marrying you." He said, "Mistake number one, mistake number two." He said, "But we are married. This mistake is going to turn around for joy." He said, "So we are here and we'll work this thing out." I know the family. If they tell you this ever happened at an instance, you will never believe that. What I'm saying is that, do you know some people broke up and then marriage dissolved on those matters? Now, Anna, please, I'm not saying you should marry a Mike Tyson. I'm only trying to say that the issues that some people actually, whatever, you know, walked away from. And everything like that, you know, the issue, this woman, she doesn't cook well, she doesn't whatever. Some people found the wisdom to deal with the same matter, and the home still stand. Because if this, some things has to be resolved. If you don't have a major wisdom to build a solid home, through wisdom a house is built. A major wisdom is conflict resolution. A major wisdom for your home to stand, thank you, Ma, is conflict resolution. For through wisdom a house is built. If that stream of wisdom is not flowing in your marriage, you will have issues and issues to the pile up to a point, or even a dating relationship. So this is crucial. When a home is constantly feuding, when a home is constantly fighting, it said desolation is what we see and what, you know, comes after that. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I pray for you that God will grant you wisdom to stop everything that is committed to your hand, you know, to stand in the name of Jesus. God will cause everything, your home, your children. You know, you will look back over the years and you say, "I can't even believe we fought over this thing 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago," because they are not issues. We're coming from Ilorin to Ife, and then my wife was telling me that some of the guys that live in the house said every time I drive, you know, people do a man of things and just drive and everything. I would never talk, you know, that they were like, they don't know how I don't see anything. What am I supposed to say? To wind down and say, "Who is your auto? Who is your auto?" And at the end of the day, because some things don't warrant a fight. Some things don't. And that is a major sign of, you know, growth after a while, to know that there are things that you don't fight about. There are things you don't fight about. It's not necessary. We were driving one day, and then somebody removed our bumper. My younger brother came around from South Africa, and he was with me, you know, them. And he was like, you know, fight, you know. And he came down, hey. And then, so I went, instead of fighting, I said, you know, leave the issue, and all that. So later on, this was even a long time ago, I remember them. He said, you know, you just let people ride you, cheat you, and everything like that. And I said, you know, if I put all the fight I fought physically in my life on the streets, If you put it together, you probably haven't seen it, because when you have seen some things, when you grow, you will understand that some things are not necessary. Maturity is leaving some things alone. But it is always fighting. Let's grow. Hallelujah. And then you will see that some things are not whatever. I will touch three important things, and then I believe that, see, all the issues, and take this thing from me. And I know this by the Lord, that most of the issues you will face in your life can only fall under these three main categories. And as I'm speaking, you will start seeing that they are falling. Okay, oh, this is what we are going through. This is what, whatever. And then things that can, cause, conflict. The three main areas whereby families, relationships have conflict. Number one is value. Conflict of values. This is number one. And I want to say this to you, please. The best way to resolve this one early is even before you marry the person. Values. 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 Hey, values. Values. When someone, you're dating someone who say, I don't believe in spiritual fatherhood. You see, those are already value issues. So you're dating someone who say, I don't believe in giving. I don't believe in tithing. I don't believe in things that have to be conflict of value systems. Whereby your values and all that, are just jamming one another. I believe in giving this, I believe in giving that, and everything like that. And I notice that when you see issues that has to do with value in marriage, it's because during dating, somebody shut their eyes to something that was important. You believe in value of hard work. But this fellow, when you were dating him, you will be at work. He will leave his own work and come and stay with you. And then he was there just to see you. I get to check on you. And then you go like, oh, isn't he romantic? And then you are there. He really, really, whatever. Not knowing that, see, that singular act of him doing that regularly tells you this is a lazy person. Regularly. He just leaves his work. This person has no value for hard work, for work ethic. When he should be, he's a marketer. He complains every now and then. He never meets a target. He's always with you. Always. He's there. You are at your workplace and everything like that. So when you see value conflict in marriages, many times it's because during dating, you chose not to see some things. Because if you really look, you will have seen, this is a major trait. You said, let's go and see my pastor. He says, who is your pastor? And everything like that. He's always attacking ministry, attacking ministers, attacking things of the spirit. That is something you should watch for. You are having conflict of values. And there are also deeper values. You say, let's pray. One of the issues my dad and my mom used to have was issues of prayer. My dad just had issues in things, because maybe thank God for my mom, who was a praying person, who kept some things together. Anytime my mom starts praying, they pray in Yoruba a lot. My mom was CAC, my dad was nothing. As in no church, So they start praying, and then so my mom goes and see, and I'm sure all of you know the pattern of prayer generally that we pray in our houses then. And then after a while, once the prayer is passing 2 minutes, my dad will just say, in jail of Jesus Christ, in the middle of the prayer. In the middle of the prayer. And then my mom will open her eyes. She must say, and then we all stand up and then we just leave the home. And it was whatever. The truth is, he didn't become like that. It's been like that. Thank God, I got him saved before he died. I preached the gospel to him. But then, for a long time, those things, look at it now. Ask yourself, this thing that is recurrent around us, is this a value issue? Is this something that has to do with our values? And everything like that. My mom used to give to our pastor, then and everything. But she couldn't do it in the presence of my dad, because my dad didn't believe, felt that pastors were thieves. So my mom would go and get nylon and pack things and throw it over the fence, so that we can take those things from over the fence and go and give the pastors. The few cases when he caught my mom giving something, and then he looked, he would say, how many milk is there? My mom says 5. What's it called? Remove 3. Remove 3. Put 2 for him. And then so my mom would do likewise, like he said, and then carry the other 3 and throw it over the fence. And still, and we already know her. Just go and pick it behind the fence and pick it. And then so we will go and do that. Values. I don't know which one, you know, like I said, I'm only trying to use some of the examples that I know, but whatever, ask yourself. Please, if you're dating someone now and you're always having value issues, values are difficult to change. Yeah, I'm not saying they're impossible to change. But if you have somebody, do you know there are Christians now who fight some things that are not necessary? I mean, you're talking about the fact that, oh, let's partner certain amount, percentage of our income. You say, eh? So you mean every day we'll be giving this? I remember, I think it was Reverend Sam who said something, you know, a while back, who said there is a guy who gives tithe of certain amount, and then later on he got a large amount of money, and then he said 1 billion or so. And then the guy said, all right, so you mean that the tithe of this, which is 100 million, is what God will collect? So he said, yes. He said, so all of them, 100 million. And then he said, yes. He said, ha. So, I mean, you mean I would transfer 100 million to God? To church, Reverend said, yes, that's what will happen. It's he just couldn't understand that. I mean, that because for him, why? But do you know it's possible he's married to somebody else who is even saying, let's double it, let's make it 200? Conflict, values. But let me say this to you, if you're already within the marriage and then there is a value, whatever, let me say this and say truth to you, what you have to do is pray. Because values that have been ingrained to people doesn't just change by counsel. It is counsel plus intercession. You must have prayed that the heart of kings in the hand of God, and like water course, God turns it wherever he listed. That, Father, I pray for him. Let this, if you are already, you found yourself in it already, and you discover certain values and everything like that, instead of you always fighting and fighting whatever over this, find a way to pray. Even the husband should pray. If it's the wife that is having this matter, this issue, pray about it. You can have a good home. Yes, you can. You can. Especially if it's, one day, while back, God was speaking to me about marriages, especially where ministry is concerned. And he says, you must preserve your marriage, your home, at all costs, with everything in you. And then I saw a pattern I've never seen before. That there are several times you see in the body of Christ, people who were assumed to be fathers at some point across the globe, once marriage gets into problem, it looks like its relevance drops instantly. Almost like that. And I can mention names, but I don't want to do so. I was watching a video in a while back, you know, Azusa, and I think it was Carlton Pierce or something like that. He was introducing, this was the same revival that made people like, you know, Mike Murdock, Miles Monroe, T.D. Jakes and all that. And he was to invite a particular minister. He's still alive today. And he said, this is considered to be the father of so-and-so in America. Even T.D. Jakes was there, and T.D. Jakes was nodding, because the camera picked him, nodding. And this was Monday ministration, and they were talking about that this man will minister on Thursday. The way everybody was shouting, waiting for Thursday, because he was perceived as the father of body of Christ as at that time. Got married and everything like that, some things went wrong and everything like that, marriage went on, still alive. Nothing about his message changed. Still as powerful as ever, but relevance just drops. You know why? And I will tell you one of the reasons. Because you see, visibility brings about influence. And if you continue at that level, after a while, influence begins to weigh people to say, that means it's okay. Because once you have influence and visibility, you are setting a template for the next generation. So God looks and says, this is a major issue. In Nigeria, I can also go the same thing. I can mention women who once upon a time dominated the ministry scene. But marital issues stepped in like that, relevance just drops. Boom. Boom. And these are realities that you have to face. That listen, to come to the fullness of what God wants you to do, things must work. Things has to work. So number one is value. Number two, that I feel, you know, strongly that we should examine. I'm trying to look which one I should even, you know, bring first. We've talked about, you know, value conflict. Let's talk about personality conflict. So the first one is value. Values are things that people have ingrained in them. And I told you the way to change it is that if you are already married, you have to pray about it. You have to pray about it. Take him up. Talk to him. Share the word to her or whichever one. And then pray. Intercede. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for him. Touch his heart, Lord. Let him see the place of where money has to do with the things of the Spirit. Let him see that the altar of prayer is, let him see, and everything like that. Sometimes it's valuable education. Somebody believes that children can go to any school and become anything, but another person believes that they must go to some kind of schools, and then you're having those conflicts. Those are values. Number two is personality. Like I said, I will tell you the issue, and I'm going to believe God that said the wisdom to tell you personality conflict. Listen, and I will say something to you that would, you know, that is important that you hear. It is not all conflicts in marriages, quote and unquote, or challenges that you might have to, that will actually have a solution of change. Some of them, what they have is solution of adaptation. And I will tell you what that is. A man who marries a certain kind of woman, personality difference. Our personalities are different. And then here you are, you feel like your wife doesn't talk. And then she comes from that kind of melancholy. She's usually a calm person. Please listen to this. There is nothing you can do to change that from being a talkative. You can only work on it to make sure that, listen, how do I work with this person's personality? You have somebody who, is a driven, passionate person and all that. What we begin to look at now is, how do you bring this thing? Because some issues that people have is that, she doesn't even talk at all. But before you, when you met the person, that's the person's personality. You saw all his sisters. When you went to greet them, you said, "Mommy, hello." You saw his daddy, "How are you?" You saw his sister. You were there for 3 hours. All they said is, "Hi." Then everybody was looking at you. Then they sat there. After 2 hours, "Do you want water?" After whatever, "Do you want water?" You can tell. And they're not angry. It's just that's their personality. They are not talking. And then here you are saying, every time that you want to complain, "My husband doesn't talk. My wife doesn't talk," and everything like that. Do you probably have to find a way to bring out conversations and gist from them? But you see, you might never be able to make them a talkative. You might never be able to do that. They will get better, but not to a point whereby they become so loquacious like somebody else who naturally is like that. There are some personality. This personality matters is important. Or you have somebody who his personality is very, 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 but maybe an offshoot of his personality, believes in things being clean. Those kind of people and all that. It is not just that they like things being clean. It's that they can't function when things are not tidy. They can't function. They cannot. You try to explain why things are not tidy. They say that's not the issue. This place has to be tidy. Or is the woman, and then you feel like I'll be able to whatever. You may never be able to bring them out of that. Then we need to find a way to manage that personality trait. Else, we're going to keep fighting because you know what? He will never change. He will never change. What the best change you can have is reduce to understand some of the things we have is just personality conflict. Let's leave value. Is that the way I am as my makeup. And I remember what Pastor said many years ago, that, listen, don't try to change people and everything. And God doesn't. When God calls you into ministry, He looks at your personality and works with that kind of personality, removing the excesses of that personality. God does not make a man who is driven and try to make him a man who is calm. Because those two things are necessary and needed. So in marriage, it's the same thing. Let's look for a way to remove the excesses of those things, but don't try. I was dealing with a matter not too long where the wife was like, the husband always wants some time alone, and then the wife wants to talk, and then whatever. And I was like, it's not just your family. And I said, let me say this. This is one of the simplest things to understand is that men are highly intellectual beings. Women are highly emotional beings. Intellectuality is fueled by some form of solitude. Emotionalism is fueled by conversation. So you can't say a woman must be highly intellectual and everything like that. When you see that, you're talking about Jack and Spanner and how oil, quartz, 5,000 and everything like that. That's not whatever. But let's talk about spider. Let's talk about, of course, I'm just joking. I'm just... Let's just have conversations. Let's just talk.
Let's lie down and talk about general things and everything like that. But for a man, and I know that this is true, for because I've observed this, or whatever, that an average man sometimes in a week or whatever just wants to sit down and think and being alone, and he's not fighting with you. And you can instantly read that and say, he's angry. And he's not angry. I just want some time alone. Why do you want time alone? Why? Whatever God has joined together, let no time alone put asunder. I think a basic understanding of some things would save us some fight. Would save us some fight. Some conflict are not necessary. And you come home and everything like that, and you need to have conversation, and then your wife goes and say, what happened? Haven't you noticed? For those of us who are married and whatever, is that when a woman receives a phone call, 5 minutes phone call, when she's done, you ask her, who was that? What did they say? She will tell you what they said in 25 minutes. When a man receives a 1 hour phone call, you ask, what did he say in 3 minutes? On subway and one dollar. And then you are like, no, that's not all they said. What were you were on the phone for 1 hour? Is that all they said? Because it's just imagine. Do you know some people fight over that? Why can't you tell me? What? Let me tell somebody, some fights are not necessary. Just understand that we differ in personalities. Because some homes have broken up on things that were not necessary. Some relationship, because like I said, you break away from this person, you go to another person, you will find out that, see, this same thing is still present there. That one you can't change, you manage. What I mean by manage is, I say, you manage the situation, you manage the person, and then find a way to draw some part of the conversation. But now I'm bolala. You see, you now get all the other information that he didn't say is they are coming tomorrow. You know, and actually, she said she's coming from Ibadan. She will stop over at somewhere. You know, I say, but she said that one in the story before. You didn't add that one. You know, and then go for that. You know, did she say we should prepare anything? And she said she would like to. You see, at the end of the day, the person hasn't changed, but at least you've learned to manage the situation. Some things can change. Especially when it comes to personality. Someone said, it was a psychologist that said, he said, trying to alter people's personality is like trying to alter their gender. It's like you're trying to alter their gender. It's like you're trying to alter their gender. You have someone who is fiery around you. You are always a wife like that. He's an asset. You're trying to suppress it. You have a husband who is, you are trying to whatever. You know why? Because you feel like whatever. I was joking with the couple when I was talking to them. So I looked I looked at the husband. I was just joking. I said, you are gay. So they said, no, sir. I said, how about you? Are you gay, man? I said, I'm not gay, sir. I said, the problem is, you want to marry somebody exactly like yourself. And then eventually you realize that you don't want it. That what you just want is a part of it. You don't want it fully. A lady that is emotional, you want to marry a man that is emotional, he's always crying. You will not say, at the rogue, but he's always crying, always weeping. Any small thing. And then you are lying on the bed. So whatever, he just come, then he just cuddle you and hold you from the back. And he said, what happens? I said, the wind is blowing outside. You will not say, What have I married? So people say, I want a very emotional person. Let me tell you, it's a lie. You want it only in a measure. Because if you marry someone exactly like, or you are a woman and then you are fierce, and then you want to marry exactly someone like you. You say, ha, the guy say, ha, I say, ah. You really don't want it. You know why? We might as well all be grateful for the personality difference that we all have. Yeah. And understand that, see, instead of you trying to change whatever, look for the excesses and let's work on it. It's something you have to manage all the days of your life. That people who are married and have stayed longer, you will check and everything. And the beautiful thing, as years goes on, there are things that maturity begins to help them curtail. That you could have fought and everything like that. I will share this with you as I begin to round up. My dad was something else, and We were never close, but, you know, but I know his story. My dad, you know, was, I mean, people thought I was bad until I heard my dad's story. And I knew, I said, you know. I remember they had expelled me from school, secondary school, and I go home, and then my dad's friend was there with him, and then my mom was saying, I said, I want to expel, or whatever. And then my dad's friend started laughing. He was laughing so loud. You know, he didn't feel like there was anything wrong with what they have done to me, and all that. And then my dad, my said, My dad was not keeping quiet. He said, Wallah Major. And I mean, it was a very whatever. He was something else. I have to, you know, it was someone that you just didn't want to get close to. It was something else. Nobody wanted to marry anybody like that. My older sister said, God, I can't marry somebody hotter like my dad. That, even when he shows up, my mom is scared. No, that's the truth, sincerely. He shows up like this and everything like that. Fear is everywhere. And all that. So the only way you can even talk to him is, as to some degree, you must be able to stand up to him. So some, you know, so the people who could even talk to him were people who seemed like you had to be, you know, scatter it first before you even get anything to do with him. I remember towards the end of his life, our last born, who was young, recently, before my dad died, I was asking her, what kind of man do you want to marry? He said, a man like my dad. I said, you know why? The father we knew at a certain age is different from the father she knew at a certain age. We knew somebody else, but over time, he has been fine-tuned. That for her, she said, the part what she said, if I marry a man half as my dad, I will have been successful. But truly, I found that, I say, he was somebody totally different in his old age. He had changed. He was more, you know, he wanted to have conversation. He wanted to deliberate. He didn't want his opinions, whatever. What I'm saying is that some of the things you are fighting and trying to kill, whatever, is that if you actually, whatever, over time, some of this personality, then we mellow a bit. We mellow a bit. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the first thing you must understand, when we're having conflict in our relationship or our home, you can first, is this a value conflict? Where does this thing fall? Number two, because if you know where it falls, you can quickly tell, how do I bring about solution to this thing? Then the next thing you ask yourself and say, okay, is this a personality thing? Is this something that should be fighting and whatever? Or is this a personality thing? And then the last one, which is actually conflict around task and activities in the home. Or in this task. If you are not married, you will need this thing a lot. If you are married, you will need it a lot. Task. Whose duty is it? Whose responsibility is this thing? Task. Some of the issues we are having at home, they are not personality, they are not values, but they are issues around task. There are issues around activities. Who is supposed to do this? Whose responsibility? This one is easy because it simply just demands both of us sitting down and stating clearly whose responsibility is what. You see, the first one I told you takes intercession. When it comes to value, if you are not married, don't intercede. Just run. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. You know, our values are like north and south. Run. But maybe you are married, you finally discover that, okay? You have to pray and then find a way. And I pray, you know, and everything like that, you know, wherever you are, you know, because if you are here in this house, I'm confident that something will change. If you are not in this house, maybe you travel from somewhere, somebody invited you, you better get to join a church that is sound. You know what I will tell you? One of the major ways God can change people is through the teaching of God's word. And teach, so instead of you just interceding, because there are things that you will say to try to change him, you will see that you are trying to make me to do what you want me to do. But if he belongs to a sound church, you know, where whatever, God's word will begin to mold him for you and bring you and save you a lot of headache. So if it's value, because no matter how, Pastor Abraham said something many years ago, I can't remember, 2 or 3 years ago, while he was preaching, about the fact that, see, if you put a wet singlet in the sun, it will dry. If you put a wet towel in the sun, it will dry. If you put a wet blanket in the sun, it will dry. But the time it will take them to dry is what differs. Some people have been deep into some wrong value system. It might take a while, but eventually God's work can change anybody. I don't know if you are getting what I'm trying to say. So make sure you expose them to the light of God's word. Hallelujah. Praise God. The last one is task. Ask yourself, task. Task. Whose responsibility is this then? Whose assignment is this? Let us know who is doing what. Let us know. If you don't do this, and you just get home, and because you will be living and running your marriage on assumptions. And I expected that this will happen. I expected that whatever. Why don't we sit down? Whose responsibility is this? Who is supposed to do this? Whose assignment? This, when we are having issues around task, around work, it is easier when we sit down to talk about the matter. And then this is where we're fighting, whatever. The conflict is all around there. I want you to be doing this. I will do this. You do this. I will do this. You do this. And if both of us know our responsibility, it is easier when someone says, baby, that was your issue. You should be doing that, right? Because why? The task is either value, you're fighting about values, conflict of value, personality, or assignment within the home. Usually, the conflict is where now. And if you resolve it properly, you have a home that stands the test of time. Because the major reason homes go their separate ways is because issues were not resolved that became issues that actually set them apart. Let's rise to our feet. And I believe God strongly, today, that, maybe as I'm speaking, you look at your relationship, your marriage and everything like that, and there are issues there. Let me say this. There are places where we should be applying wisdom and not power. And there are places we should apply power and not wisdom. Many times, where working out a good home is, wisdom is what it is. Because it says, through wisdom is a house built. I'd like us to pray and say, Lord, wisdom, Lord. We open up ourselves to wisdom. Let streams of wisdom of patience. Let streams of wisdom, let it flow to us right now in the name of Jesus. Let streams flow to us. Let streams of wisdom. He says, is there any of you that lack wisdom? Let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally. So Lord, thank you for wisdom. Thank you for the operation of the spirit of wisdom in my home. 50 years, 60 years, 70 years from now, your marriage is standing. Your marriage is standing. 80 years is still standing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, begin to speak to God. I'd like you to speak to God and ask him for right now for wisdom. In the name of Jesus.